All right, good morning, historians of the internet. Welcome back to Old History. So, a couple of interesting things happened. I got to go in that tunnel. For those of you who are not on the YouTube channel, the tunnel under one of the buildings in downtown Morristown is part of the original Turkey Creek. And I contacted the business owner. He let me go down there and film it. So if you haven't seen that, please make sure you go to my YouTube channel, and it's my latest video. Second to that, a long time ago, came into possession of a book about a cave here in Tennessee. I posted a picture of something I found on the wall, or a picture of something found on the wall. Posted it to one of the forums that I'm on, and, well, months go by. Nobody can figure out what it is. Somebody from a university in Sweden, I think he's a professor, contacted me and said, I think I know what this says. So he deciphered it, and just to let you guys know, we found what was thought to be Elder Futhark runic writing on a cave wall in Tennessee. Now, the Vikings never came anywhere near to here, so I thought that I'd stumbled upon something pretty serious. So anyway, he deciphered it, and it is actually the beginning of, it is a variant of what was developed by J.R.R. Tolkien for the Lord of the Rings saga. He deciphered it to mean Enim Durin Aran Moria Pitum Melan Amino, or the doors of Durin, Lord of Moria, speak, friend, and enter, which is kind of interesting to be on a cave wall. You know, some hillbilly put that on there, and that's really awesome. So moving on, the podcast today was inspired by the events that took place on January the 6th. And such things, this is really inspired by the comments that took place, such as this being the first attack and siege of the U.S. Capitol building. And really, this is to address that, so let's dive right in. All right, so I will not go on about my thoughts about what happened, as old history is strictly about history. It's not a media to promote a political agenda, and I intend to keep it that way. So now that that's out of the way, I'd like to make it known that if you like what you hear, then you can support the Old History Project for as little as 99 cents a month. You can support it either here via the subscription, or you can go to Patreon. So let's dive right in. So by the War of 1812, by this point, the United States is still a relatively young nation. We defeated Great Britain in the 1780s, and we're still recovering financially, and we're trying to move forward and really just get ourselves on track here. So Great Britain is still mad at us. So what happened? I'm so glad you asked. So before I get into it, this is the first attack on the U.S. Capitol after the United States became a nation. There were about two or three others, but this one is the first. So the conflict about that revolves around the War of 1812 goes back a few years. In 1806, France prohibited all neutral trade with Great Britain, and in 1807, Great Britain banned trade between France and her allies and the Americas. Well, Congress passed the Embargo Act in 1807 in retaliation, prohibiting U.S. vessels from trading with European nations. And later, they passed the Non-Intercourse Acts, aimed solely at France and Britain. And the Embargo and Non-Intercourse Act proved ineffective. And in 1810, the United States reopened trade with France and Great Britain, provided they ceased their blockades against neutral trading. Great Britain and France were at war with each other, and the United States didn't really want anything to do with it. They tried to remain neutral, as they weren't really in a position to start another war. They didn't have the finances, they didn't have the troops. They just didn't want any part of it. They just wanted to keep moving on. So Great Britain would not allow it, and they began to interfere with the international trade between the United States and other countries. On the high seas, Great Britain would stop the U.S. merchant ships and search for Royal Navy deserters, and they called this practice impressment. President Madison made the issue of impressment from ships under the American flag a matter of national sovereignty, as between 1793 and 1812, it is thought that the British impressed somewhere. I'm getting too far ahead. Impressment was the practice of recruiting by force. It's thought that the British impressed about greater than or less than 15,000 U.S. sailors to supplement their fleet during the Napoleonic Wars with France. So Congress would go on to declare war against Great Britain on June 18, 1812. Now, this war was fought on several fronts, such as the Atlantic, but it was also fought on the Great Lakes region, primarily between the Royal Navy and the U.S. Navy. Now, for a time, the United States mopped the floor with Great Britain and won a few of these battles. However, the United States, who was vehement on reaffirming its independent status, suffered a series of demoralizing defeats. So, in April of 1814, Britain defeated Emperor Napoleon and began to focus their sights on unprepared America. This is where it comes into play where I said America didn't want any part of it. They were not prepared. They did not want another war with anybody. So, on August the 24th, 1814, British troops marched right into Washington, D.C. and set the Capitol building and the White House ablaze. This would be the only other large-scale attack on the U.S. Capitol building. Like I said earlier, there were about two or three more. The one that was most recent is one of the largest-scale occupations. So, moving on September 13th, the Brits set their sights on the vital seaport city of Baltimore, Maryland. And when they arrived, the British warships began a 25-hour bombardment of the city, while the rest of the nation waited to hear its fate. One soldier, who I could not place a name to, wrote about the experience and said, "We were like pigeons tied by the legs to be shot at." The goal for the British was to destroy Fort McHenry so that their ships could sail right into Baltimore's inner harbor and support the troops there who were attacking the city by land. So the morning after, Francis Scott Key, I wonder who that is, real familiar name, he was on a ship several miles outside of the city and noticed that the British ships were leaving port when he pulled out his telescope and realized that the United States flag was still flying high and had not failed to the vicious attack. This would be what inspired him directly to write that Star-Spangled Banner as a symbol of America's triumph. So by the end of the war, neither side could score a victory in battle, and the Tsar of Russia, under mediation of the Tsar of Russia, Great Britain and the United States came together in the summer of 1814 to negotiate the terms of peace, as they both were really tired from war. Great Britain had just fought with Napoleon, and then before that they fought with us. They were tired, and America was tired. They couldn't get anywhere. They're running in place. On Christmas Eve, the negotiators signed the Treaty of Ghent, which restored the political boundaries on the North American continent to the status quo antebellum, establishing a boundary commission to resolve further territorial disputes and creating peace with the Indian nations on the frontier who somehow became a part of that. So just to sum it all up here, America was moving forward with the Louisiana Purchase and things of that nature, trying to grow themselves and get themselves on the right track and get themselves in motion. Great Britain didn't allow that. They were trying to still reel them in, I guess, being sore losers. So, what happened here was a reinvigoration of the American spirit. So, with all that being said, let's remember to subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't already. And further, if you'd like to support the podcast, you can support it here or on Patreon. And have a good weekend.